Today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. The update on Father Ward is that he came home last Monday and is rapidly recovering from the recent surgery. Thank you for the Mass request for him, and please continue to pray for him. And if you'd like to assist us in mowing the east side of the landscape, please come next Saturday, August 1st, after Mass. Some of the saints that are honored this week. Tomorrow is St. Pantaleon. Wednesday, the Sister of St. Martha. It's on the octave day. Rather, the sister of St. Mary Magdalene is St. Martha, so that's July 29th. Thursday, Saints Abdon and Senan. Friday, the founder of the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, whose statue is right there holding the rule of the order, St. Ignatius of Loyola. And then Saturday, August 1st, the commemoration of the Holy Maccabees. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh that we should live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage so as to be again in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself gives testimony to our spirit that we are sons of God. But if we are sons, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 to 9. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward who was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him, and he said to him, What is this that I hear of thee? Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And he summoned each of his master's debtors and said to the first, How much dost thou owe my master? And he said, 100 jars of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bond and sit down at once and write 50. Then he said to another, How much dost thou owe? And he said, 100 cores of wheat. And he said to him, Take thy bond and write 80. And the master commended the unjust steward in that he had acted prudently. For the children of this world, in relation to their own generation, are more prudent than the children of the light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We decided to make the most important saint of this week part of the sermon, so we're going to speak at length about the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the grandmother of our Lord, Saint Anne, whose feast it is today. It is not part of the office except commemorated at the Hour of Lauds and at the Mass. So the reason we speak about her is because she is a very, very great saint to be the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the grandmother of God. Her husband, as you know, is Saint Joachim. His feast is on August 16th. Now there was an apocryphal work, meaning it wasn't part of inspired scripture, but it's an ancient work called the Proto-Evangelium of James, of Saint James. And it was written in the first century, many historians and some saints question its authenticity. However, as with many documents of the early church and any document whatsoever, they're usually mixed with have a mixture of truth and error or fables. That unfortunately was the case with many of the early documents of the church. Like there's the epistle, it's called the Epistle of Matthew, and other apocryphal works. And so what would happen is early Christians and some devout people would write a historical account of what was happening in the church, especially in the first few decades after the Ascension. And sometimes stories were written to embellish it, making it somewhat fictional. The reason we say this is because it is believed that Saint Damasus, the Pope, questioned this Proto-Evangelium of James and other saints. There was never an official pronouncement on these documents, especially this apocryphal work. The reason we say that is because it really does not matter. It is one source and a possible source telling us who the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary was, her parents, Saint Anne and Saint Joachim. A very early doctor of the church and great saint, Saint John Damascene, believed in the fact that these people existed, Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, and that those were their names. But one thing we know for sure, the Blessed Mother did have parents. So it doesn't really matter what these documents say, because she did have parents. And it was revealed to different people over the centuries, their names. But here is the whole point of why we're explaining it in this detail. Just like with some of the greatest saints of the church, we don't really rely on those documents. In latter centuries, there were objects of devotion, statues, images, chapels, basilicas dedicated to Saint Anne. And what would happen there? And what would happen before these images and sacramentals? Miracles would occur. Not fake miracles, ones that were approved by the church, giving testimony to the fact that these images and the, it's called the cultus, the devotion to Saint Anne was authentic. And this is exactly what happened with Saint Philomena, whose feast is in a few weeks. Many, many popes approved of devotion to Saint Philomena because of the miracles performed in her name. And that's exactly what happened with Saint Anne over the centuries. So here is the story from that apocryphal work. The story there told is that the childlessness of this couple, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, was made a public reproach to Joachim, who retired to the desert for 40 days to fast and pray to God. At the same time, Anne, and that name comes from Hannah, or Hannah we say today, which signifies grace. She mourned two mournings and lamented in two lamentations, not mourning, but mourning. And as she sat praying beneath a laurel bush, an angel appeared and said to her, Anne, the Lord hath heard thy prayer, and thou shalt conceive and bring forth, and thy seed shall be spoken of all in all the world. And Anne replied, As the Lord my God liveth, if I beget either male or female, I will bring it as a gift to the Lord my God, and it shall minister to him in holy things all the days of its life. Likewise an angel appeared to her husband, and in due time was born of them Mary, who was to be the mother of God. And it will be noticed that this story bears a startling resemblance to that of the conception and birth of Samuel, whose mother was called Anne. And there's also, you can see the parallel of the story to the miraculous birth of Saint John the Baptist. It was in the middle of the 6th century, so this is in the mid 500s, that there was a devotion to Saint Anne. And the Emperor Justinian I dedicated a shrine to her. So this was 1,500 years ago. And a devotion in Rome was introduced by Pope Constantine in 708. And there are many frescoes and paintings dedicated to Saint Anne, and a vestment in her honor, Saint Anne's honor, was presented to Saint Mary Major by Pope Saint Leo III in 795. And on the back of that vestment were the images of the Annunciation, Saint Joachim, and Saint Anne. There is some other indirect evidence of her existence by non-Catholics. And that is the Muslims actually in their records, in their books, not only mention the Blessed Virgin Mary, but also mention her mother, Saint Anne. The Protestants attacked her, the fact that she existed. But here's an anecdote that Martin Luther, Catholic friar, before he fell away from the church. It is held that Martin Luther chose to enter the religious life as an Augustinian friar after crying out to Saint Anne, while endangered by lightning. So he invoked a Saint Anne and was protected. Here are some other anecdotes, because it just shows in the Catholic Church, but in other religions and in popular culture, how Saint Anne has affected our society. There was, in different parts of Europe and in Jerusalem, promotion of the devotion to Saint Anne in order to attract pilgrims. Now that has been going on for thousands of years. Because what do pilgrims do? They come and then they pray at the chapel or the place of devotion, and then they spend money on lodging and food. However, when it becomes such a great amount of pilgrims and they receive favors, miraculous favors, then we know it's of God. Two well-known shrines to Saint Anne are that of Saint Anne of Douai in Brittany, France, and the most famous, Saint Anne de Beaupré, near the city of Quebec. It is a huge basilica in honor of Saint Anne de Beaupré, and it is one of the top five places for pilgrims in the entire world in the Catholic Church, just following the Holy Land, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Compostela for St. James. In the Maltese language, the Milky Way galaxy is called Itricta Sant'Anna, literally the Way of St. Anne. Isn't that beautiful? Much more devotional that the physical things of the world are named after a saint rather than just their description in a secular way. Saint Anne is the patroness of unmarried women, housewives, women in labor or who want to be pregnant, grandmothers, and educators. She is also a patroness of horseback riders, cabinet makers, and miners. As the mother of Mary, this devotion to Saint Anne as the patron of miners arises from the medieval comparison between Mary and Christ and the precious metals, silver and gold. Anne's womb was considered the source from which these precious metals were mined. Saint Anne is also said to be a patron of sailors and a protector from storms. And there are many stories of sailors over the centuries, and there are devotional books that describe and authenticated stories, miraculous stories, how they were rescued from the perils of the sea by invoking Saint Anne. And a few other remarks, reading from these accounts. Saint Anne is never shown as present at the Nativity of Christ, but is frequently shown with the infant Christ in various subjects. She is sometimes believed to be depicted in the scenes of the presentation of Jesus at the temple and at the circumcision of Christ. But in the former case, this likely reflects a misidentification through confusion of Anna the prophetess. The reason we say that is there is so much art, literally thousands and thousands of fine art images, as you know, of Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, Saint Elizabeth, Zachary, but also Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, and sometimes the artist is not really paying attention to the chronology, but they are more putting the symbolism of the saints in there. So they put Saint Anne there, depicted with the Blessed Virgin Mary at a particular event. The reason we know this is we look at hundreds and literally thousands of images to prepare for the calendar. And we're doing that right now. There was a tradition that Anne went separately to Egypt and rejoined the Holy Family after flight into Egypt. Saint Anne is not seen with the adult Christ, so as regarded as having died during the youth of Jesus. Saint Anne is also shown as the matriarch of the holy kinship, the extended family of Jesus, a popular subject in late medieval Germany. In modern devotions, Saint Anne and Saint Joachim are invoked for the protection for the unborn, because the product of their union was the most perfect creature in the universe, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And occasionally you see, and I've seen it, but it's quite rare, there are images of what's called the image of double Madonna, and it shows the Blessed Virgin Mary and her mother Saint Anne both as adult figures together in the image. Now we again say all this because she is a very great saint to invoke. There are books, volumes of countless miracles of those who prayed for protection and assistance from Saint Anne, for women who want to find a good husband, or when they're married to have a child, healthy child especially, but also for all these other needs that I mentioned, especially those who travel on the sea. So it is, the miracles prove that she, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary, was called Anne. So remember to pray to Saint Anne on this, her feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the moments we have left on the regarding this epistle and gospel, it is, as we've said over the, and you've heard the other priests speak about it, this is again another Sunday extending the Feast of Pentecost, but especially Easter. Now, you may have noticed, if you were watching carefully a few weeks ago, when that video for our 25th anniversary was shown at the banquet, which was just a beautiful event, we thought, and we were fortunate that it occurred. Let me again thank those who made it happen. But towards the end of it, because just, I think, a couple of nights ago, we showed the video to Father Ward. He had not seen it. So it was, got to see it for a second time. And towards the end of it, you see the different priests at different masses and ceremonies. Well, the one towards the end was the Easter vigil of this just a few months ago in April. What was happening? Well, it turns out I was the celebrant, but none of you were there. The church was empty. The only people here were the Father Ward, who sat right in the front row, and the seminarians. And I was privileged. It was my turn. We just rotate this position, or this being celebrant for Easter Vigil. It would have been actually easier to do it the conventional way with all the chant, but that didn't happen. But I had the privilege of having two priests as master of ceremonies and the second master of ceremonies. And in the video, it just shows a few photos of that night. The blessing of the fire, the Paschal candle. The reason we say that is because that is the night that we all, and maybe you, if you were able to do it, you read through the ceremony and you made a promise by renewing your baptismal promises. It's not the same as being at the Mass and the ceremony, but maybe you read it and you said you renounce Satan and all his works and all his pomps, all his desires. You renounce those. And that's exactly what St. Paul is saying to the Romans. The Roman Christians, who were especially in a difficult situation because they were living in the headquarters, the center of paganism. And the leaders, the emperor and the whole Roman court, they were the greatest enemies of the Christians. But he's telling us we have a debt to pay, and it is to God, not the devil, not the flesh, not our bodies, but Jesus Christ, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. He has created us and given us our souls, which are spirits. And why did he do that? Why do we have a spirit inside of us, our souls? Well, you may answer, well, it's the soul that keeps us alive. It keeps the body alive. That's correct. And the soul has two parts to it, an intellect and a will. It's the way we know things through our intellect and the way we choose things through our will. But I would say to you, what's even more important than that? Our very life force, our souls become a dwelling place, a little house for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Trinity. You know that, but I remind you, because it is not enough to assist at Mass and to say your prayers if, after doing so, you fall by the wayside when you go out into the world, going out these doors. It is more than ever a battle between God and the devil and his agents in this world. And anything in your life that is taking away your soul from God, you should go after it and reject it with the same vigor. And we have a beautiful expression that St. Paul says, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. That's where the word abbot comes from. He's the father of all the monks in the monastery. And the term is one of not a father who is remote and doesn't care, but a very loving father. The Father of Lights. So that's why you just in danger, temptation, difficulty, even though you don't feel like doing it. What do you do? I've said this before. I'll tell you what I do. You just say, Dear Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, and all my patron saints and our guardian angels, help me, help us, protect us. And that prayer, it's an actual grace to pray, always is answered. And I mean always. In some very difficult circumstances, which I cannot relate to you. And then finally, a brief explanation of the gospel. Now, we some years ago preached about this gospel on this Sunday, this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. And we told you, I never heard in 8 years of Catholic school an explanation of this gospel. Because I thought, it looks like God is approving of the guy defrauding his master, and just never was explained. So remember, this is a parable. It really didn't happen. But you have the master who represents God. And he has a steward. He's like the top manager of the organization, the operation. Well, what is he doing, that manager? He's taking money. He's stealing money from those beneath him. He's taking a cut. Now, our Lord most likely used this story, this example, and gave this parable because it was so commonly practiced. People knew that's the way it is. And you know what? It happens all the time. It's happening today. I'm sure every one of you know people, or happened to you, someone's taking money from you or from the business. Sometimes even family members are stealing money from you. Can you believe that? It happens. Well, what did this... The story goes that this unjust steward was reported and he was brought to the master and said, You're fired. Get out of here. And so what did he do, that unjust steward, that manager? He said, I'm losing everything. I've set up this whole system of graft and extortion, whatever it is. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then he thinks, okay, what I'll do is I'll go to the people beneath me that owe money to the master, and I'll start paying my master back, but I'll just take some of it myself. But I'll reduce those debts so they can start paying. So he's defrauding his master. He's continuing to do it. The guy is just, in the story, is a very crafty person. But the whole point of the story, as you know, is that our Lord is commending the cleverness, the resourcefulness. Because we see it in the world today how the enemies of God are extremely successful at what they do by God's permission. They will take money, they will oppress people, all for their own gain. In terms of the world and worldly possessions, they are prudent because they're getting ahead. Now, the end is destruction, of course. But he's saying, in if I could put it this way, how come the children of darkness are so careful in the way they get what they want, whereas the children of the kingdom first the Hebrew people, but then the Christians, are so poor at reaching their goal and getting what they're supposed to get. They're so lazy and lackadaisical. And that is the point of the story. That we are supposed to be on fire with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who will make us, if we're willing, as resourceful as the enemies of God in what they do to their destruction. And it proves that on the human level, you can't be lazy, because God's grace is not automatic. As we've said before, we discuss vocations, possible vocations here several times a week at the dinner table or at the snack at night. We're talking about vocations. And we see, with all their story and their background, some of them, most of them fall by the wayside because they are not resourceful in terms of the things of God. Recently, I'm in college now and I'll disappoint my parents because they've paid for college, and if I leave, I'll disappoint them. Wait, God is calling you. Why are you worrying about disappointing your parents? I have a dog or a cat and I don't want to leave it alone. I have a girlfriend. I have debt. I'm not healthy. I'm overweight. So they're called to follow God, and they won't take the necessary means on the human level to overcome the obstacles. And we just say that because God's grace only works for those who want it, who want the goal, want heaven. So if a person becomes a priest or religious, whether it's a brother or a sister and a woman religious, if they are basically a lazy person before entering, that's the way they're going to be when they become the priest or religious. Because those sacraments and sacramentals and ceremonies do not change the person. God can, by his grace, and does perform miracles, but we have to cooperate with it. And that's why getting down to the very basics of this gospel, that a person has to have on the human level a desire for heaven and to do what's necessary. And God gives you the grace to forge on. As we said many times, you all got the actual grace to come to Mass today. Whereas 99.9% of people slept in and didn't do anything for God today, the Lord's Day. But you responded, and that's a beautiful thing. Now you build on it. So that is all we have to say about today's Epistle and Gospel and St. Anne. Remember to pray to her. She'll protect you in the greatest needs. And God bless you.